This is the Human Centric Investing Podcast with John Deal, where we look at the world of investing through the eyes of our clients. Take it away, John.
Hello, financial advisors. This is John Deal, Senior Vice President of Strategic Markets at Hartford Funds. Welcome to Episode 7 of the Human Centric Investing Podcast. Joining me today is Jill Slomski, President of Niche Team. Welcome back to the podcast, Jill.
Thanks, John. I'm glad to be back.
Well, Jill, you know, in Episode 5, we began a discussion about how advisors can build a personal brand. Today, I wanted to take a deeper dive into step one of that process of creating a personal brand, which you call reflecting on your competitive edge. And before we get into our conversation, Joe, I want to remind everybody listening on the podcast that throughout our questions today, we'll be referring to a worksheet that listeners can download that's located in our show notes. So with that, let's get started. Jill, you know, when advisors create their personal brand, why is their competitive edge so important?
Well, it's the way that they're going to differentiate themselves from other financial advisors. It gives potential clients, prospects, and their current clients the reason of why they're working with them. What is it different? Is it their personality, their communication styling, their accessibility, their ability to problem solve? But it's that reason that people are drawn to them. When a financial advisor is going through a personal branding process, we look at things like their strengths, areas for improvement, motivations, and values. It's the foundation of a personal brand. And our personal brand is really a competitive edge, a competitive advantage, or how we differentiate ourselves from other financial advisors. There are all kinds of people out there, and we gravitate towards certain personalities and certain attributes. So for the financial advisor to take a step and do a little bit of a self-assessment that we're going to discuss, it will do great things for them in projecting their personal brand.
So, you know, I think everybody probably has a notion of what makes them different than the advisor down the street as they kind of reflect on how or why they got into the business or maybe services or products that they may provide. But if we were really going to sit down and do the hard work of trying to put into words kind of what our competitive edge is, how does that work? How does an advisor actually figure out and put their finger exactly on what that competitive edge is, Jill?
John, that's a great question. For a financial advisor, their competitive edge is really their differential advantage. It's how people relate to them. Are they approachable, a good communicator? Are they accessible? What type of a feeling do you get when that person's in the room? How are they different? Because we don't want to blend in with other financial advisors. Everyone passes the same test, but we want to have that thing that's unique to us so that our target market can feel a connection.
You know, it's funny, Joe, when I talk to advisors, usually they have a notion about what makes them different, maybe kind of floating around in their mind. But, you know, I think what we're asking people to do is kind of do the hard work of actually sitting down and trying to put your finger on exactly what that competitive edge is and actually put it into words. If you were going to do this, how would an advisor figure out exactly what their competitive edge is?
Well, when working with our clients, we encourage them to finish the statement, I am. It's a really powerful statement. And with a little bit of encouragement, we have them make a list, things that they can authentically say that they are. Oftentimes, answers that we hear are, I'm determined. I am a good listener. I'm a problem solver. I'm a caring person. And one that's really, really wonderful when I hear it is, I'm a person who can take complicated situations and make them easy to understand. So when you make a list of those things that you are, it's the beginning of getting that verbiage for how you're different than people around you.
So as you think about those I am statements, isn't it, do you ever seek input from other people around you to see if the way others see you is the way that you see you? Can other people help you figure this out, or would you rather just somebody kind of does that on their own?
Well, I think the key is getting information from other people, people who you interact with on a regular basis. If we were the only ones who would fill out the statement, I am determined, I am this, I am that, we don't have that good outside opinion. And as professionals, we're often pretty tough on ourselves. And so what we encourage our financial advisors to do is to reach out to key people in their lives. Number one, someone who works with them on a regular basis. We say, please ask for a list of strengths. And we don't guide them. We don't say it has to be complete sentences. We just say, give us some words or phrases. We don't ask for a specific number. So the group of people that we encourage to get good, valuable feedback from is a coworker, a referral source, because that referral source is describing you to someone who they think needs you in their lives. So there's great information to be gleaned from that. We then say, go out and ask a client who really knows you, and find out how it is that they would describe you, what your strengths are, and then a friend, someone who has known you for a while. Whenever you accumulate all of these lists, we put them side by side. And most times, the vast majority of the time, we see that you're going to see similar words or phrases. And you use those words on good days and bad days, but it gives you vocabulary to use when meeting with a prospective client or when you're talking to a prospective referral source. For those people who are especially hesitant to ask for business, a financial advisor can say, my other referral source says that I am very approachable and very thorough. A client can say, my clients tell me that I make them feel at ease when discussing their financial future and that I'm always accessible. So those words are very, very powerful and can be used in future projects, marketing, LinkedIn summaries. They're great words.
So as we think, so we come up with kind of these I am words and we get a kind of a well-rounded picture of ourselves. So I think once we have that, how does that relate to the goals that we're going to set for ourselves and our practice? And in light of this, that maybe the best way to learn is, do you have any examples of how people went from those I am statements into kind of composing some pretty solid goals for themselves?
Well, John, this competitive advantage or these words, these I am words, are really how they accomplish those goals. So when someone says, I'm an achiever, you know, we talk about what do you want to accomplish in your business? And we break it into time frames, short term and long term. You want to set the goal of contacting so many clients a day. You put that out there. If you're an excellent communicator and very relationship oriented, we find that the people who act and do things genuinely the way their personality is, it's to have more events or to take more clients out to lunch or dinner, to mix and mingle, because being in the office and only meeting with a handful of people a day isn't enough for their personality. And so taking those I am statements about determination, boy, that can get you through some tough days where you're having a good month or not such a good month. It reminds you of who you are and you set your activities accordingly. And it does help you accomplish those goals. We encourage our clients to put those goals in front of us and those strengths, and it keeps you motivated throughout days and weeks and months.
Because what it seems like to me, Jill, is you would wind up coming up with a set of goals that would kind of overemphasize your strengths and your passions and maybe underplay those things that you don't get so excited about. Is that the end result of this practice?
That's exactly right, John. That's exactly right. And then we focus on the positive.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, in everybody's practice, and this is one of the things that we talk about in that worksheet that I mentioned in our introduction that's available in our show notes. But in our worksheet, we talk about areas of improvement. How do areas of improvement fit into an advisor's competitive edge?
Well, John, you know that we all have really good days, and then we have days where something happens along the line and it trips us up. It can ding our confidence just a little bit, or you can be running those processes in your office tremendously well, and the same thing keeps holding you back. And so we strongly encourage people to make a list of those areas of improvement. Some people call them weaknesses and we don't. Weaknesses are things that linger longer. So we make a list of things that should be improved. It might be a process. It might be a little bit more time blocking of your day, contacts, good client notes, perhaps after a meeting. So for whatever the advisor's challenge is, a consistent challenge, we suggest that they list them. So, you know, number one, perhaps it's client notes. So you say, make better client notes. How are you going to do that? The next thing that has to be addressed is, what actions are you going to take to get this off of your list so that you and your business are more efficient? And so maybe it's block time after each client meeting to make some good notes so that you're not finding yourself at the end of the day or the end of the week trying to make up and recreate what was really a wonderful conversation. Then there has to be a deadline. You know, I promise to me and to my business and my coworkers that this will no longer be an area for improvement by a deadline, and you meet the deadline. Now, John, I'll tell you another thing. These areas for improvement, financial advisors are multitaskers and they are people oriented, and they want to make everything better for their clients and for the people they work with. And sometimes they think that the more they can put on a to-do list, the better. At this point in time, we strongly look at that list. Take a good look at that list. And if there's something on there that you can delegate, you need to delegate it. Doing more in a day is not necessarily better. So if there's something that you're doing that you can delegate to someone else so that you can better serve your clients, prospect for more clients, deepen relationships, then that's what you should be doing. So those areas of improvement, give yourself a good list. How are you going to get rid of them? Give yourself a good deadline, a reasonable deadline. Get rid of them, delegate the rest, and move on so that you can really play to the strengths and not have those areas for improvement be a detriment any longer.
And it sounds like, Jill, like if you came up with that list of improvements, you may want to try and prioritize those things and maybe what you think are your biggest obstacles. Because I'd imagine if you try to work on too many improvements at once, because it seems like one improvement might have multiple steps involved or multiple habits that need to be formed. Or you may have to train someone on maybe how you would like to see certain things done so that you can delegate it. I guess the key would be not becoming too overwhelmed with those improvements, but just kind of picking them off one at a time and making a commitment, as you said, to a deadline. Would that be right in your mind?
John, you're exactly right, because you don't want to set yourself up for failure. There's nothing like taking a list of your areas for improvement and failing to accomplish getting them off your list. And so you want to be reasonable and rational and make sure that you set a deadline where you're going to remove it in a timely fashion. You don't put it out there like an attack list and say, I have 30 days to get all these things that have been haunting me over my career and get rid of them. You want to make it reasonable and rational. Sometimes we say take the biggest one. There will be the gas that really gets your business going faster. And sometimes we say, if you're not comfortable with this, take some of the low-hanging fruit, the things that are easy to move off of your list, move them away so you feel accomplished. And then move into the digging deeper into the things that are going to take that training that you mentioned, a little bit more time.
Absolutely. So we talked about kind of figuring out what our competitive edge is by asking our I am statements and maybe talking to people around us. We talked about improvements and goals and, you know, these kind of things. But let's talk about the larger topic of motivation. What do you mean by motivations, and why are they so important to this process, and how do they kind of fit in with what we're talking about here?
You know, in getting to know financial advisors, it's so interesting to find out why they come to work. You know, what made them choose being a financial advisor, whether it was right out of school or if this is a second career for them. And we hear all kinds of things, but when you get right down to what makes you come into the office and or go out and meet prospective clients and network, what is your driving force? What motivates you? And we hear all kinds of answers. Some people are just driven to achieve. They were always that person. The scouting of, you know, being a scout and accomplishing awards, being an athlete. And it's funny, after working with clients, how you can really pick up on what they were earlier in their life. Sometimes for folks, it's a flexible schedule. They want to be a professional. They want to serve. They want to help people. And they like the flexibility for whatever reason. Financial independence. I hear a great deal about financial advisors who have grown up in families who didn't necessarily have very much money, and they want to have a different type of a life, or they want to care for their family members in ways that they couldn't have done so if they weren't a successful financial advisor. I have financial advisors who keep all of their children's pictures right in front of them, and it reminds them every day of why they're trying so hard to take care of other people's families. There's a wide range, but when you look at why you're really doing this, sometimes it's, I want to make a difference for families. I want them to feel good. There's all different ways, but when you get into the details of your day and you And you can back up just for a moment and say, why am I really doing this? It helps you stand out and be different. And it also gives you a way to connect differently with your clients.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that last point, Jill, because I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I'm involved in conversations with financial advisors, if we're talking about, you know, planning strategies or investment aspects or something like that, that's one type of conversation. But when I ask them questions about why they got into this business, how they chose the firm or the practice that they did, how they think they work best with clients, well, all of a sudden the energy starts to exude and they get excited and passionate. What I often say to many people is, when was the last time you shared a conversation like this with your clients? Because sometimes I think even if the advisors know deep down, they don't realize how much their clients need to know about what motivates them, because that passion and that emotion, I think, is what draws people towards you. Is that, would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. They know that they need to do business with a financial advisor, but what they really want is a personal relationship. They want to know who they're dealing with. When we talk to financial advisors about what their offices should look like, I said, put pictures of your families in there, the things that are important to you, because the connection is so necessary. And when you can make the personal connection about what's important to you and what's important to your client, that conversation opens up, the trust is expanded, and the conversation flows, and you can learn more about them so that you can better help to solve their financial challenges. Or it opens up another conversation about another goal for that family or for that individual investor. You become a person. It goes back to, you as a financial advisor are extremely intimidating by virtue of that job title. And the assumption is that you are brilliant and you know exactly what they should have done before with their money. But if they can relate to you as a person, they'll understand that that risk is so, so minimized. And they're just relating to a person. That trust is phenomenal. And it helps you to have that deepened relationship with a client. It also gives them, the client, a reason and conversation to refer you or to say, I met with my financial advisor, tells a little bit of a story, and it opens up doors for potential referrals so that you can grow that base of people who you're serving.
Jill, the worksheet I mentioned also talks about values. What do you mean by values, and how do they differ from some of the other things that we just talked about? And can you give us some examples of what those values are and how an advisor might leverage those?
Oh, sure. And the worksheet is a good base. I'm glad that you tell everyone to refer to that. But what you value, if it's family, if it's health, if it's outdoors, if it's security, like when in those conversations that you're having with clients, you find out what they value. Is it family time? We have some financial advisors who really, really work to be sure that they're not taking away time from their family. They try to block their day so that they can spend time doing what it is they value, or being out and serving in the community. If you see your financial advisor out doing something that helps to build the community, or being philanthropic, donating time, serving on a board, you see that that person isn't about the cookie cutter of being a financial advisor, doing their job, and then going back into their home. They see that there's depth and breadth to that person. And the connection of, my gosh, I have several people who serve on boards of Boys and Girls Club, Humane Societies, Animal Rescue Leagues, the United Way. You find out people don't give their time if it's something that they don't value. That's another connection. And that's your competitive edge. Competition is good. It's not a competition to win, but it's the competitive edge or differential advantage that says, no, this is very important to me. And you can open the conversation and say, and this is why this organization is important to me, or this is why family security is so important to me. Those conversations make you approachable. And when you're approachable, you'll attract clients and help to take care of them.
So, Jill, another question again on the topic today was step one of creating a personal brand, which we're calling reflecting on your competitive edge. And we talked about the I am statements, the descriptives, we talked about goals, we talked about improvements and motivations and values. As people walk through these steps, do you suggest walking through them kind of on a linear basis, like we just talked about, starting from the I am statement, moving through goals and improvements and motivations and values, or do I jump in anywhere? What's the best process to work through these things?
You know, John, this is kind of like doing a personal strategic plan. And that's why we strongly encourage doing it in this way, because we want to take a good look at what we are good at on a consistent basis, those I am statements. And then moving on to eliminating those areas for improvement, help you to more confidently do what it is that you do in serving your clients and delegating, so that you have the time and the energy reserved for playing to your strengths so that you can serve those clients. And then looking at what really motivates you helps the financial advisor to be reminded to enjoy what it is they do and to do it in their own authentic way. Compliance friendly, of course, John, you know.
But absolutely.
Yeah, but when you can deliver a service with your company in a way that is uniquely yours, you're projecting something that's different than anyone else. Once again, I take it back to the example of, at some point in time in our lives, we chose a best friend, a roommate, a spouse, whatever. And what was it about that person that resonated so deeply with you that you were drawn to them? Financial advisors have the opportunity to do that every day, to present to people exactly who they are. And I always find that financial advisors who embrace their personal brand and have the confidence to project things in their own authentic way, that they love their job so much more. The ease in which they deliver their services and relate to people is so natural that their business grows so much faster and easily, and they love doing what they do more than they ever did before.
Well, and I would think too, Jill, it could even help me understand maybe why I'm not connecting with certain clients, because maybe as a result of the work that I'm doing on myself, I understand how different that I am from some people who may have existed in my practice for quite a long time, but that it just doesn't seem that we click, and we seem to spend a lot of time and a lot of effort just trying to do the most basic things in terms of their financial planning.
You know, John, that's exactly right. And regardless of how much time you've spent in the career, it's always great to go back and go through this process, because we oftentimes take for granted what it is that we are or what we do because it's something that we've done, or after a while, it's natural to us. But for the people who we serve, it's supernatural. You do it in a way that no one else can deliver those services. So to go back and reflect and look at the fact that you are different, that you do project something very different than someone else, not better, but different. And so for those people who resonate with you, they understand exactly who you are, and you'll be able to help to better serve them in their finances.
That makes a lot of sense. Hey, Jill, I know we're just about out of time, but if I wanted to commit to this process, what's one thing that I could do as an advisor today to get started down this path? What would you recommend?
I really think you pull out the worksheet, John, and you decide that you are going to do the business in a compliant friendly way to do the best service you can for your clients. But in order to develop a real relationship with them, you have to understand what it is about you that's so unique. If the word competitive edge bristles you a little bit because you're not really competing with anyone else, it's finding your unique attributes that make you resonate with someone. I tell my clients every day that someone woke up today needing exactly what you do. It's your job to project how you're different so that they can engage with you, so you can help them. And this is your chance to really embrace how you are unique and go out and help clients as best you can to serve them in their finances.
Well, thanks, Jill. Thanks for your time again today on the podcast. It was a pleasure having you. And from all of us at Hartford Funds, we'd like to say thanks for listening to the podcast. And we'll talk to you again soon on our next episode of the Human-Centric Investing Podcast.
This podcast is intended for use by financial professionals or in conjunction with the advice of a financial professional. It is intended to be educational in nature and should not be construed as individual investment advice or a recommendation or solicitation to buy, sell, or hold any security or to adopt any investment strategy. It does not constitute legal or tax advice or fiduciary advice pursuant to ERISA rules.
Jill Slomski, Niche Team LLC, is not an affiliate or subsidiary of Hartford Funds.